You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Well, time for your final weekly triple show with Lester David, investment strategist at Unum Capital. Lester, how is the market looking through Lester's particular lens at the moment?
Good evening, Michael, and good evening to the listeners. Yes, markets are, broadly speaking, are starting to show some signs of weakness on the back of concerns around the increasing number of COVID-19 cases. This is particularly true in the fixed income, commodity, and currency markets, which have moved ahead of equity markets in de-risking on the back of the negative news flow. As noted, equities are yet to really show their hand, particularly in developed markets where stocks continue to trade close to record highs. In the East this morning, however, we did see stocks come under some pressure, which may filter through to the U.S. Trading session on Tuesday. Over the last week, as of Monday's close, the Dow Jones is higher by 0.99%, the S&P 500 higher by 1%, the NASDAQ higher by 1.7%, and the small cap 2000 has added 1.2% week on week. Over in Europe, the Eurostoxx 50 was lower by 0.34% week on week, while the DAX and the FTSE was higher by 0.06 and 0.2% respectively.
Now, often when we look at what's going on in markets, seasonality is a big factor. And what we see at this time of year in the Northern Hemisphere is a bit of sell in May and go away, feeding into June and July because of the seasonal holidays. Is that the case again?
Well, if we have a look at 2021, this was certainly not the case. While we were supposed to see, from a historical perspective, markets taking a bit of a dip from the middle of June towards the end of June, it was interest rates and the subdued nature of interest rates, with the U.S. 10-year sitting at around 1.45%, that actually helped U.S. equities retain the record levels. And I think this could, the particular reason behind this was that we've got the growth stocks in the U.S. Where lower interest rates have been supportive of the elevated levels for quite a while. So the U.S. 10-year coming back from around 1.75% to 1.45% was supportive over the last, let's say, 1 to 2 months for U.S. tech stocks, which have continued to move higher and test record levels.
It's been very surprising to me, and I said to Nick Kunze earlier, if you had told me a couple of weeks ago that the Fed was going to come out with that hugely hawkish statement, and we're talking about a U.S. 10-year rate at 1.47%, I would have told you you're smoking something. Anyway, how have commodities been doing? Because oil has been steadily rising, but that hasn't really translated into several other commodities, and I see in particular lumber has really come off from its record highs over in the U.S. Broadly speaking, the commodities you're tracking, how are they looking?
Yes, so while commodities have attempted to rebound on the back of a pause in the upward trend in the U.S. dollar, what we've seen is that many have actually struggled to put in a solid reversal as the dollar has given us some kind of pause. For example, we've seen gold still stuck below the 1780 level, silver stuck below the 26 level. We do think that the concerns around the macro environment, as we noted earlier on, the rising COVID-19 cases, that should actually put or sustain the pressure on the precious metals and the commodity space. And if the U.S. dollar continues to firm up and move higher, we see this pressure on precious metals and commodities continuing.
What's the Unum One Big Thing for the week?
This week, we'll be looking at the U.S. Department of Labor, which will be releasing the June payroll data, where it is expected that around 650,000 jobs will be added. We do know that the number of jobs added during the month of May came in below consensus, which will leave some pressure on expectations that the U.S. economy could be running too hot. The print itself would essentially provide an input and guidance for the Federal Reserve on the path for interest rates. Should the print exceed expectations, it would be supportive of a stronger U.S. dollar, which may cause the broader group of risk assets to come under pressure even further, even though they are sitting at elevated levels at present.
Earnings, I know we had Nike come out and really surprise. That was the big one last time out. Nothing much at the moment, though.
Nothing much in terms of earnings at the moment. Only around 25 businesses that are reporting this week. However, we will get insight into the chip sector as we've got Micron Technologies reporting this week. As you know, Michael, there has been a shortage of chips globally, and I think the results from Micron should give us some kind of insight into the supply-demand dynamics, which has been affecting sectors globally, specifically the auto sector, as well as the gaming sector. So that is one business that investors should be looking out for on later in the week.
And chips are very interesting to see where they may fall, because we know that is a particular choke point in global tech stocks. Just quickly, any new IPOs on your radar screen?
This week there's 21 new IPOs. We'll be focusing on two. The first one is Acumen Pharmaceuticals. They develop targeted therapies for safe and effective treatment of Alzheimer's. They are looking to sell around 8.3 million shares between $14 and $16 per share. And then the second one is Clear Secure. The code is U. And the firm is uses biometric technology to validate entry. They are looking to sell around 13.2 million shares between $27 and $30 each.
Lester Davids, investment strategist at Unum Capital, with your trip offshore. And Williams is standing by with your news for the last time on Classic 1027. Anne, over to you. And thank you, before you do start reading, for adding your professional... And I'm just going to hand it over to you.